Okay, let's go through a few shorter questions today. Bhakta Sanjay in Portland says, what is the significance of the word Devi when addressing modern Jesus Devi Dasi and modern ISKCON? I'm noticing more and more that they no longer use the words Devi Dasi, but simply Dasi. Does this change its meaning? Is it acceptable to do this? What's wrong with Devi Dasi? Nothing wrong with Devi Dasi. That is how devotees are initiated. I've also noticed that when I can, I remind ladies that they should use the word Devi. Dasi is a very, in Indian culture and in terms of usage, linguistic usage, is a very general word which can refer to cleaning women. And even Dasi Putra, it can even mean the son, or it can even mean a prostitute, sometimes in terms of usage. And Devi means Divya. It means transcendental. It means spiritual. It means the playground of Lord Krishna. So the Devi makes the Dasi spiritual. It's indicated here that here we're talking about a servant of Sri Krishna. And although in the West, very few people will know about this, but in India, they most likely will. And wherever we may be, because that is our tradition, there's no loss for devotees to do that. What is the harm? Why not use the Devi there as well? Why just say Dasi? This is our tradition that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and it's better to stick to that. Another question from Shorya Das. He says, I would like to ask you a question regarding the growth of ISKCON. What is the reason and Krishna's reasoning that ISKCON has been significantly losing momentum in various areas, particularly Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution? I always hear that it was so energetic in the old days, and I'm sure you too can remember this. How can we gain the momentum, energy, and enthusiasm there once was? Andhra Prabhu says to increase Harinam Sankirtan and ISKCON will pick up speed and purity. What do you feel is best for us to try to regain the spirit? No doubt, Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, are activities that will keep ISKCON energetic and spiritual and vitalized and healthy. And in the absence of it, definitely ISKCON will wane. I've made a podcast not too long ago, and I'm just going to repeat that very briefly. But the fact that the atmosphere of the good old days is going to be really hard. In fact, in my opinion, it won't be possible to revive. And the reason for that is that the dynamic has very, very drastically changed. In the good old days, when everyone was a brahmachari and brahmacharini, when there were hardly any grihasthas, but if they were, then children were very, very few, even in Srila Prabhupada's day, at least until the last years. The emphasis was solely on Harinam, book distribution, preaching, festivals. And obviously those activities are powerful, very enthusing, and invoke a lot of mercy from the Lord. And they create a real synergy amongst the devotees because everyone is performing common activities, has a common focus. As with any religious organization or any community, as Krishna consciousness has developed and matured, that ekihakuru, that one tracked focus, which means just Sankirtan, has certainly been diluted. It's been diluted because the brahmacharis became husbands, the brahmacharinis became mothers. We need to have nurseries, schools, colleges, Devotees then have to work because temples don't necessarily maintain the grihasthas. There are so many other activities that we perform aside from that. We have ministries for health and welfare, communications, and so there's a lot of other activities that aren't there at that time. There's another lot of demands in the social dimension and social dynamic that weren't there in Srila Prabhupada's time, which even when Sankirtan is going somewhere full boom, it still means that the mood is never going to be quite like that. However, having said that, no argument that Sankirtan, namely in the form of book distribution and Harinam, needs to be going on in order for ISKCON to be called ISKCON. And in the absence of that, ISKCON will really wane in terms of its potency, in terms of its mission. And that's a real challenge. I have no doubt that despite the fact that we may have our ups and downs in the way that there are many waves in the ocean, that the Krishna consciousness movement will go on. And in many places, or in some places where things are not so dynamic now, that they will become dynamic again in the future. But as correctly stated here, the basic formula or the indispensable formulas that have to be there aside from everything else is Harinam and book distribution. Zasudevi wrote me from New Vrindavan, said she wanted to meet with me when I was there, but I wasn't there, so maybe she can just write back and I'll write to her. Damodar Prasad Das, is it right to throw out deities from the temple by an ISKCON sannyasi, whatever the reason may be, which was installed according to Pantrik Prikavidhi? I can't answer such a question because it's a, at least if I say it's political, is one thing, but the other is there's certainly history behind it and different points of view, and I don't feel myself qualified to just even comment on whatever has been written right here. So let's move on to the next one and the last one, which was Ramananda Das. He says, I have a question regarding taking bath in Radhakund and Shamakund. Because devotees were behaving frivolously, Prabhupada asked them not to bathe there anymore, but to take some water on their heads. Nowadays, there are devotees who bathe in a responsible way, and those who say that we should not bathe there, but should continue to follow Prabhupada's instructions regarding taking a few drops on their head. What is your understanding about this, and if it's okay for devotees to bathe there, is there any advice you can give how we should approach to take bath in this most sacred place? Yes, it's okay to bathe nicely, as long as it's not done, as you say here, frivolously and offensively to Radhakund, because that is actually our tradition. The tradition of Parikrama is to bathe in holy places. Bathing can be done in different ways. It can be done with a full body bath, or it can be done just sprinkling a few drops of water on one's head. But if devotees know how to bathe properly in Radhakund, then they may do it by all means. When we're doing parikrama of many, many lakes, then it's not possible to change and do a full bath and continue on. But one can just sprinkle a few drops on one's head and then go to the next place. So that's why we sprinkle on our heads. On the other hand, if one does have time, then he can, he or she can do a proper full bath, but it's not meant to be swimming around or entertainment. And when we take a full bath, then one should offer obeisances, preferably dandavats, offer prayers at the same time. If one knows the prayers to a suitable place, then One should sprinkle some water on one's head, and of course one has to be properly dressed when going into, in other words, you have to have some bathing clothes when going into water. And then when you go to, in this case, Radha Kund, then one dip down gently three times, take palmfuls of water, and offer water to Radha Kund. Then one once one can chant Gayatri Mantra at the same time, offer prayers, then again come out, offer obeisances, and change at a distance from the actual, from Radha Kund, so that the water, your bathing water that drips off your body doesn't drip back into directly into Radha Kund. And that's the way that either in Radha Kund or Shyama Kund or Jamuna or Ganga or the Mai or any other holy lake or river, one follows the same procedure. We need to know how to show respect to the holy places. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to learn the process, and if we know the process and can practice it nicely, then there's no bar to bathing in Radha Kund. And one should also ask for forgiveness for entering into Radha Kund with one's feet, because in one sense it's an offense, but otherwise it's how do you go in. So I think it was Pundrik Vidyanidhi who would not go into the Ganges because he didn't want to touch it with his feet. So that's a personal choice, but the general Vaishnava tradition is that it's all right. But one should also ask for forgiveness in that regard. And then we get the full benefit of the bath. As Rupa Goswami says, that simply by bathing in Radha Kund, then one can attain the type of attachment for Krishna that Srimati Radharani's associates have. And that's it for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.